Thank you so much, my good brother, and reminds you that in Bethel, the month of December is all about Jesus. And last Sunday, we took one verse of the scripture on John 1, and we study who is Jesus. And we took each word and each paragraph as it is written in the King James Bible, and because that's a crucial verse. As I expressed to you, Jehovah Witness and Unitarians has added one word over there to make a confusion. Jesus then is a creator. He is God first. He's the creator, and he is the light of everything. The fact that if you're an engineer, and you know what holds things together, and Jesus holds things together in a marvelous way. Now, I want to bring your attention to another text of the Gospel of John, and this is on chapter 3 and in verse 16, a very well-known text that everybody knows by heart. The children learn that in Sunday school, all right? And I want to talk to you word by word on this text so that it stays in your head for forever, all right? The other day, as usual, the phone rang, and I answered. Usually my wife answered the phone just to cover me, but I answered the phone. And after several seconds of silence, a voice on the other end, must be recorded, and the other line spoke and really said, "Please hold for an important information." Did you get those calls like that? They call you, maybe it's a recorded voice, "Please hold for an important information." Well, I did just what most of you do when you get one of those wonderful calls from a telemarketer. I hang up. So I never did found out what that important information really was because I hang up, all right? So I don't know what the telemarketer was about. It seems that everyone has something to say to us today. The news media want you to hear what they have to say. The politicians want you to hear what they said. The advertisers or calls they want to the telemarketers. And most of these are words and opinions and details we do not want to hear, but they disturb you, especially at dinner time. All right? Now, in this passage of the scripture, in John 3:16, the Lord Jesus bring an important message from God his Father. So I want to say it again. In John 3:16, there is an important message from God his Father. He tells us something we really need to listen this morning. You can hang up if you want to. Right there where you are, you can hang up and say, "I don't hear anymore the pastor." All right, you have that. But I will advise you to hold on the line this morning and listen. The Lord has something to say to you. So please hold for an important information or message from God. Three things he's saying, all right? Here's what he said. God has a message for you about love. God has a message for you and me about love. John 3:16. What is the source of love? Look at what the Bible said. John 3:16. For God so loved. For God so loved. I want you to know what kind of love he has. Or I got it. For those on the air, when I say I got it, is that I have a glass of water in my pulpit. The first point I want to make is that God has a message of love for us. What is the source of love? All right, put your hand always on John. Go to 1 John chapter 4 in verse 19. And the first thing that you and I need to know, that God has a message for you about love. What is the source of love? Where do we find the very beginning of love? 1 John 4:19 said this: we love him because he first loved us. So that's a remarkable understanding of that. And one thing that I like about this is that his love is no conditional. When I please him or when I do not please him, he's still loving me. And he wants us to love our wife and our husband the same way, all right? Now, how do I know that? Now, you have your John 3:16. Go to Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. You go to Jeremiah chapter 31 and in verse 3, then you find that kind of a statement that makes me, this is incredible, that somebody will love me in spite of myself. That is God. Let me read it for you. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord has appeared of all to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you to me. It's just amazing. God, the source of love is God. If it's not God, then it's faulty. But when the source of love is God, it's eternal, it's permanent, it's always there, in spite of circumstances. That's the first thing God wants to know about God's message about love. The second thing is the scope of his love. You go back to John 3:16 again, and there the Bible in John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world. And the word world is the word world, cosmos, the creation. No discrimination with God. He does not love the Koreans more than the Chinese or the Arabic people, of the Italian people, of the German people. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, the creation. Amazing way. There is no discrimination. There is no preference with God. You know, that's it. He just loves you. In other words, there is nothing you can do to make him stop loving you. I say, wow, I like that. There is nothing I can do to stop God loving me. And there is a great passage in Romans 8. If you turn to Romans chapter 8 there in the Bible, it's a great passage about that. It starts in verse 38 to verse 39. There is nothing that I, Gabriel Lutero, can do to stop God loving me. He can discipline me, but he's still loving me. In Romans 8, verse 38, look at what the scripture said. For I am persuaded, said the Apostle Paul, that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, and look in verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See the benefit of having Christ? If you have Christ, you have God's love, and there is nothing in this world or in any place that can separate that love. It's just glue forever. There is no divorce with God. Wow. That is very deep. In a society that deals with conditions, I'm with you as long as I get the benefit from you. In a society like that, it's comforting to have a God like this, that he knows my weakness and is still loving me. So God has a message for us about love. He is the source of love. He starts first. It's not that one day you wake up and say, oh, how wonderful, I want to read the Bible. God somewhere, somehow, through the Holy Spirit, have led you to that position. And what you thought was crazy before, now is wonderful. That's the love of God for you. And the scope of his love is eternal. It's not conditional. Now, the sacrifice of his love is in John 3:16 also. So we go word by word in 3:16. And so here it is, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that what? That he gave his only begotten Son. Now, mothers, you understand that more than we fathers. To give your son for the sacrifice of unknown people. God's love for humanity was complete. He gave his son. And there is a verse in the Bible that our seminary require in the 70, I'm talking about 74, 75. Our seminary required that we should know by memory. It's Romans 5 and verse 8. A very important verse. So that each one of us that are going to be pastors, the professor said, never have pride about yourself. Because the people that you are speaking, God did this for them and for you. Look at Romans 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. Wow. The application of Christ's grace in my life was not at the moment that really I believe. And this is a mystery. The Bible in Ephesians said, before the foundation of the world, he knew Gabriel Otero. And he said, Gabriel Otero will be the recipient of my love. With a finite mind, we cannot really understand it. The only thing is, I accept it very gladly. Because with my own mind, I will argue with God. I will have arguments and questions. But with the Spirit of God leaving your mind, you have acceptance and things. So God took the sacrifice to do this. There is a verse also in John 15 and in verse 13 that is important for us to remind ourselves as we make a point on this message of God about love. And in John 15 and in verse 13, God is making a real point. He said, greater love has no one than this. Then, said the scripture, to lay down one's life for his friends. We do a lot of things for our friends, all right? When you have a friend, you do a lot of things, a lot of sacrifice. But God talks about the ultimate sacrifice, to give your life for his friends. And I think that I take, between parentheses, I take that God is calling me a friend. You know, imagine if President-elect Trump said, oh, my friend, Victor Lara. Oh, you feel, oh. I can say, my friend, God. My friend, God. In the busyness of life, I think we lost that. We lost that power that we have as believers. We have so many things happen, and you have children and business and so on, and there are so many activities that move us away from that concept that makes you strong and wonderful in spite of the situations in which we are. So the first message that God wants me to hear is a message about love. He is the source of love. Remember that. He is the source of love. He, through the Holy Spirit, is the one who loves me before I love him. He is the one who produces that love in me to be kind and gentle and sacrificial. And then the scope of that love, I have love. I can go and sit down at McDonald's with a guy who do not have clothing and don't have food. And I can love that man. And I told one guy the other day, and I was driving with Raquel, I said, that's the man that I talked to him. Now he's dressed up. Now he's going on. He found a job. And I said, thank you, Father. That in spite that he doesn't know who you are, he's going to find out why I give him his Bible. And what somewhere, somehow, he got clothing. Somewhere, somehow, he got a job. And made me cry to see how God works in the hearts of people. God works in a marvelous way. Don't give up on people. Just show yourself a loving person and let God turn that person. And don't you try to turn it. I'm not trying to say it. I learned a few tricks with those people, how to sleep without paying anything in this town. But it's just amazing. And I learned about certain business of this town who are very kind and very gentle, people like that. And so it's just amazing when you think in the amazing love of God, change your life. There are imperfections in me, there are imperfections in you, but it goes away because the intense love of God for us, a mystery before us. So there is a message for you about love. Also, in John 3:16, there is a message for you about life. Very serious message. A message that makes you think and makes me think. What is the worth of life? And John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him." Now we want to come to a point very serious. Whosoever believes in him. And so the worth of life is that if you're in church, if you have friends who are believers, if your family is Christian and believes in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, if you are associated with them and you live your life with people because they are very kind and gentle, but you have no belief in him, there is a danger in that. The Bible said the worth of life is not if you're a doctor or an engineer, it's that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The worth of life is not if you live in a palace or you ask the 24 fitness for you to give a chair to sleep for the night. No, the worth of your life is that you are loved by God and you have believed him. You cannot be associated with Christian people and take that advantage. You yourself, myself, I myself have to come and love him. I learned that early in my life. And I grew up with Christian peoples everywhere. But do not work anything until I believe. And I was such an unbeliever that when I stood up in the church and I stood up when the pastor said, "You believe," my aunt said, "Sit down, you don't." So they knew me more than anybody else. And the pastor said, "No, let him come here." I remember, he must be with the Lord now, Pastor Contreras, a wonderful man who really took me by his shoulder and visited with me and talked to me to be sure that I understand. You have to believe. It's something that we cannot do naturally. It's something that we cannot prepare. It's something that as you read this holy book, the Bible, comes into your life. How do I know that? Don't look on it. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's where this church is very, very conscious in placing a Bible in everybody. That's what I carry Bibles in my trunk, because I want to give to people. So the message for you about life is you have to believe. You cannot be, I'm impartial in this. You cannot do that. You have to believe. You have to believe. So there is a worth of life. Also, there is a message here about the worry of life. If you look carefully in John 3:16, said, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should" what? "Should not perish." Should not perish. Now, that is the worry of life. That is the worry of life. And I learned when you get older that if people go to this church or the other, it doesn't matter. The key is, would they believe? Would they believe? Now, if you hear the wrong gospel, I don't know what you believe. But you have to hear it, and do you believe? And why I'm concerned? Well, I want you to look on it. It's in Matthew chapter 7. There is a little paragraph there in Matthew chapter 7 that brought me in concern. Matthew 7, and most of you who read the Bible knows and have read this, Matthew 7, 21 to 23 It's not too long, but I'll read it for you. And concerns me. Not everyone, and Jesus is speaking. And this is what he said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. The whole church is singing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Jesus said, not everyone is doing that. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's the hardest part of the gospel, don't we? I found it myself. You have to love the impossible. You have to do things that whatever, but for the gospel's sake, you do it. All right? Look at how clear is that. Is it the will of my Father in heaven? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast our demons in your names, and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know, I learned a lesson from here. The worry of life is, say, Gabriel, what do you practice? It's not so much as memorizing the entire Bible, is what do I practice? Do I practice love in spite of anything? Do I practice integrity in spite of everything? What do you practice? Because our practice reveals that we are Christians. It's just amazing. Look at the message. The worth of life is believing. The worry of life is, are you practicing your belief? Wow. That makes a really think, all right? Now, not only these messages about life, the worth of life and the worry of life, but also the wonder of life. Looking again and at the end of John 3:16, at the very end, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right? That is the wonders of God. So as I share my life with people in town and I ask people, it's so nice to, you go to your post office and you are in your box and I say, well, how are you? I said, you need, oh, I said, my box is over there. Oh, you do it first. And then I move out. And then now I got the right to speak. So I said, you got all your mail? Are you sure? Say, yeah, thank you so much. Well, God bless you. And the first thing that comes is, are you a pastor? That's a disadvantage at this point. I said, yes, I am. I'm sorry. But now I'm just a man looking for my mail. And one man asked me, he said, why you say God bless you? Because what do you want, Satan to bless you? And boy, he did like this. He moved away. He said, boy, you really are like a knife. No, me, the Bible. The Bible is a knife. That was a good answer. It came out of my mouth. After I said, why I say that? But it came out. That's why Raquel don't go with me to the boss office, because she don't want any trouble. She said, they're going to punch your face one day. But I learned. You know, can you imagine? Well, Satan to bless. He knew about Satan. He knew about God. But that's it. That's what he knew. There are so many people in this blessed America. These 8 light years, I want to be a little politician, 8 light years, last years of Obama administration have withdrawn God out of any place. And there is a generation from maybe 12 to 20 that grow without God. And we need to be active. Now that we have a blank space, we need to be active. And this is the wonders of life. We have everlasting life. And so one person, one lady said, oh, she said, I know that. She said, I know. She said, tell me, do you have any proof of that? Yes, I do. All right, let's see it. All right, here is 2 Corinthians 5. You go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verses 1 to 8, you have a great proof. Look at what Paul said. For we know, and the word is ginosko, that means we experience, we know. You know, in the Greek language, there are many words for one word in English, but the word ginosko means, just tell a baby, don't go to the fireplace, it's hot. The baby doesn't know anything. So I let the baby go to the fireplace, put the hand on it, and the baby knows it's hot. So that's the word ginosko. So we know, we have experienced this. We know that if our earthly house, our life, this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. All right? And look at what he said in verse 8. We are confident. There's no doubt in it here. Yes, well pleased rather than to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we Christians who believe God and believe what God said in his book have eternal proof and great confidence that this is it, the wonder of life. Now you ask me what kind of body you and I will have in heaven. I have no idea. But there is a body, have a little idea on Jesus. One time in Acts 1 said that Jesus came into the room, but the doors and the Bible said the doors and the windows were locked. And Jesus came into the room and there was no hole in the walls. And the Bible said in John 3 that I will have that kind of body. Well, I like that. I think I want to play in heaven a lot. Hey, I'm here. You know, I'm excited. I'm excited. It's real. It's not something, it's real what the Bible said. So the message about life, the worth of life is, of course, always believing. The worry of life is don't be an imitator. Don't be something, I will consider this later. Research, find out what the Bible said. And the wonder of life is for us Christians that we do have an eternal life. Sometimes just for fun. In my office, I have the name. I have the pictures of those who die in our church, a lot of them, and the names on it. And I close my eyes and I say, what Romulo is doing now? What Dr. McCormick is doing? And I start crying. I guess I'm getting old. I cry more than ever for the people that I miss as part of the congregation. But I have just the relaxing experience that I know where they are, and one day I want to meet them. Finally, God has a message for you about liability. There's a precise liability. Look at in verse 16, John 3:16. Said, whoever believes, whoever believes. That is the liability. Whoever believes. You come to church, praise the Lord. You listen to a radio preacher, praise the Lord. You read the scripture, praise the Lord. But there is an end to all of that, and ends on the word believes. That's a liability. Whoever believes. And I want to show you some scriptures that testify about that. If you go to Romans 10, there is a great scripture in Romans 10 that talks about this. And Romans 10 said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's why we ask you to confess. Tell us, do you believe or not? Because your confession is part of the process of God save you, all right? And if you go to Acts chapter 16, in verse 30 and 31, there was a man in jail, and the man in jail was worried that his prisoners will leave the jail because the doors were opened by an earthquake, and he will be shot. And so look at what he said in verse 30 in Acts 16. And he brought them out, Paul and Silas. Sir, what must I do to be saved? He knew there was something, a miracle there. Everybody was in their own jail. So they say, believe Bethel Baptist Church by laws. No, look at what they said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And then the little surprise, you and your household. Amazing. This is amazing. So there is a precise liability. There is an accountability. You hear the word. You ponder the word. You are exposed to the word. Now you need to believe. You cannot live continually in your life without unbelieving. And you said, why? Well, there is a wonderful thing in this. There is a personal liability. And the Bible says, whosoever believes. But if you go to John chapter 5, and in verse 39 to 40, you find something that Jesus said again. And it happened then, 2,000 years ago, they had Jesus eye to eye. Imagine today. Look at what the Bible said in John Gospel chapter 5, verse 39 to 40. The Bible said, you search the scriptures, said Jesus, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, the scripture. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Wow. People read the scripture. People fellowship with believers. People talk like believers, sing songs like believers, but they will not come to Jesus and say, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Wow. It happened 2,000 years ago, so happened today. So that is your liability. Now, what's the conclusion? You know, I love the Old Testament. I was measuring the Old Testament. So I love the Old Testament and the New. And there is a picture in the Old Testament that matches the New Testament. I want to show this picture. If you move your Bible to the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, in chapter 21, I want to start reading from verse 1. I had time, so you got a background. The scripture will give you the background. Numbers 21. The king of Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south, heard that Israel was coming on the road to Atharim. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. Verse 2. So some Israelites made a vow to the Lord and said, you will indeed deliver these people into my hand. Then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their city. So the name of the place was called Hormah. Then they journeyed, you know, remember that. They got a blessing. The enemy destroyed them. The enemy took them and said, Lord, if you bless us, we will follow you. God blessed them. They took over. Now, look at what happened. Look at what happened. Verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. They just have a blessing. They just have a blessing they cannot even number. That's ourselves, okay? And they say, oh, but I want this also. I don't have water. I don't have the steak in the morning. What's going on? All right, verse 5. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. And so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Now, each time that something bad happened, look at what happened. Therefore, the people came to Moses. Every time something happened, they come to the pastor, all right? They come to Moses. Pastor, we have sinned, and we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed, and look at God's plan. Look at God's plan. Verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent. Maybe the young people know what a fiery serpent is. I don't know what a fiery serpent is. Maybe they had a head like this, or who knows. Make a fiery serpent, said, and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, it's not just because you have a serpent, when he looks at it, shall live. You got it? That's what he said. Verse 9, so Moses made a bronze serpent and put it in a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Look at that. Right, the same passage is in the New Testament, and it's in the scripture just prior to John 3:16. So I want to read the same story in the New Testament. John 3 and verse 14 and in verse 15. And as Moses said, John 3:14, as Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believes in him, and the serpent is whosoever looked to the serpent. But here is, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, we have one Bible. The concept in the book of Numbers and the concept in the New Testament is the same. We have to come to believe in God. We cannot be in love with Jesus, in love with the church. You have to come to believe. And if you have doubts, just open your Bible. Nobody can make you to believe. People sometimes comes. I remember when Casey came to us from the town and said, Pastor, I want to talk to you. I said, well, let me get my wife here in the office and you come in. And you know what questions she have? She said, number one, who is this Jesus, Holy Spirit, and God? You know, that's very deep, don't it? And so we spent 3 weeks on it with my wife until one day I was talking about something else. And then with the scripture she read, I tell you, she was a good girl. She read and she said, look at Pastor, I got it. She just like that, smiling. And she told me about other pastors. Don't talk about other pastors, let's talk about God. I got it, she said. So she left, and it's in Louisiana, but she got it. See, once in a while I type to her, you still have Jesus? Oh, Pastor, you told me it's eternal. You know, so I say, she's reading the Bible. I'm just quizzing people. It's not great. You have to come to believe. Please hold an important message from God today. Have you believed in the Lord Jesus? He is the real Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great lesson you gave us today. It is a lesson that we can be intellectually knowing you, but never believe in you. So I pray today that the people over the radio, over the internet, and over our church chapel may have the confidence to say, yes, I believe. Because that makes the difference. And Jesus, we thank you for causing us to believe in you. Amen.